Ladies and gentlemen, last Friday, when news came through of the attack on Holland and Belgium, the Federal Council decreed, as proposed by the Commander-in-Chief of the Army, the general mobilisation of Swiss military forces. I'm Sophie Douay, and that was the introduction to the topic of the day, broadcast by one of my predecessors of the Swiss shortwave service on Wednesday, May 15, 1940. Before its current incarnation as a news website, swissinfo.ch was Swiss Radio International, and before that it was the shortwave service, which first broadcast Swiss news to international audiences in 1935. That service was to come into its own during the war years, called into action to defend Swiss neutrality at a time when the country was surrounded by the Axis powers and considered somewhat suspicious by the Allies. The archives of the service during this time have recently been digitalised and transformed into an online database. While few audio files exist from this time, the programme manuscripts, often with handwritten notes or corrections, have all been saved, giving us the opportunity to go back in time and give you a taste of what Swiss international radio broadcasting sounded like during those dark years.
I know that the world's present unrest will not last forever. I am perfectly convinced that someday will come when the turmoil of war will cease and peace will be restored. But when? Day and night, this burning question tortures the mind of every man and every woman in Poland. Each time they look with distress at their pale and starving children, they are desperately asking themselves, how long will the frail bodies resist? Is there any help coming? Will it reach them in time? Countless letters and messages are arriving from Poland. In all of them, one idea prevails. Help will come from America. I beg of you all to accept this token of my profound gratitude for your generous response to the appeal of the Commission for Polish Relief.
That was Polish diplomat and celebrated pianist Ignacy Jan Paderewski, in a plea for help for his homeland, which was broadcast on September 25, 1940. Throughout the war, Switzerland was often sharply criticised, particularly by Britain, for the positions it took as it attempted to shore up defences and maintain its neutrality. The shortwave service, whether on its own or at the behest of the powers that be, was an ardent defender of Swiss positions. In the later war years, the country's ever-hardening position towards refugees came under particular scrutiny. Let's listen to an extract of a broadcast on the subject from January 23, 1944, as read by Swiss Info's Gillian Spinden.
It is quite obvious that Switzerland cannot receive all the refugees who come and ask for her hospitality. Despite all her goodwill and her honest readiness to do everything in her power in order to soften the misery of the unfortunate victims of this war and come to the aid of all the persecuted who have had to leave their homes and property, Switzerland cannot take upon herself a task which is beyond her forces. This is the reason why, several times, quite reluctantly, she has had to close her frontiers to those who wanted to cross it. As to those who are already enjoying the right of sanctuary in Switzerland, it is also comprehensible that they cannot be all submitted to the same regime. It has to be avoided that refugees, under any pretext, can pursue political manoeuvres, a lucrative activity, or any other activity which might compromise our neutrality. It is quite understood that no refugee will be able to make his stay here of indefinite duration. As soon as circumstances will permit it again, every one of them will have to leave, either for his own home country or for another country which is less overpopulated and can afford itself the luxury of sheltering a supplementary population.
But with the passing of the war and the victory of the Allies, bygones became bygones, and relations between Switzerland and Britain warmed again. Let's now listen to a rousing tribute to Switzerland, delivered in Bern in 1946 by Winston Churchill.
You have had a period of great trial and anxiety. You have been guided wisely under your sober, stable system of government to perils and perplexities which might, if matters had been mishandled, have well involved you all in ruin. But, as it is truly said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And it is because the home of freedom is in the mountains, because the Swiss people in their confederation have realized so many of the modern conceptions of social democracy. It is because the Swiss people have known how to cherish their independence while at the same time preserving world consciousness and a desire to aid and help others that I value most, particularly the reception which you have given me here today. And in thanking you, I wish you all good fortune and success in the future. And for the rest, I will say, vive la liberté! Vive la justice! Vive la fraternité! De tous les hommes, dans tous les pays. Et vive la Suisse!
That was in stark contrast to the often tense ties between London and Bern during the war. The shortwave service was often at pains to showcase the excellent treatment given to Allied soldiers interned in Swiss camps. As an important means of communicating with the outside world, several broadcast manuscripts detail the living conditions of Australian, American and South African POWs who had escaped from Italy and were sitting out the remainder of the war in Switzerland. This following excerpt, read by Dale Bechtel, is an attempt to soothe the anxiety of the families of these men and reveals a lighter side of those days.
Your boys in Switzerland live in several camps. Now, mind you, by camps you must not understand tents with barbed wires around. No, they live in villages all over the country. Three camps have been established in quite well-known holiday resorts, up in the mountains or on a large lake. Accommodation is mostly provided in large hotels, which in the good old times were crowded with tourists from all continents. Evening mostly finds them in one of the local pubs, having a drink or two over a chat or a game of bridge. That is, of course, if it is not pictures night, which always are very popular. Or a special occasion like Union Day, which I was fortunate enough to celebrate with the South Africans of one particular camp. And very merrily, too. Sports bring, of course, about a very welcome change into the daily life. In winter, they skied in a big ways. Now there are swimming competitions, tennis tournaments, matches in football, basketball, boxing and cricket within the camps, between various camps, and between Evade's teams and Swiss teams. Dancing to the music provided by their own bands and learning all about Switzerland by taking out a pretty girl. It is great fun to attend such a party in a hall crowded with chaps in battle dress enjoying themselves.
Throughout the war, the activities of the International Committee of the Red Cross were not only vital to the suffering millions, but were also an important weapon in Switzerland's presentation of itself as an upstanding global citizen.
At a moment which is unique in history, the International Committee of the Red Cross in Geneva desire to give expression to their feelings.
This is part of a broadcast from Karl Jacob Burkhardt, president of the ICRC, on the occasion of Germany's surrender on May 8th, 1945.
Human beings are faced with irreparable loss and must accept final separation, while so many others are living in the joy of a return home, of finding their loved ones again with the knowledge of being saved and the conscience of victory. In these circumstances, the relief task to be accomplished would be stupendous, as was already the case throughout the war. Prisoners, whether still interned or already liberated, will have to be fed. Above all, faithful to their motto, Inter Arma Caritas, the committee must, despite all obstacles and vicissitudes, perpetuate the Red Cross spirit, the spirit of charity, in a world which hatred has led to the brink of the abyss.